So I hope you've got your thinking caps on today, or your listening caps. You don't have to think that much. Your listening caps will today might be one of those that there'll be moments where it'll be some of the stuff will be a little profound, I hope. The Buddha, his entire teachings were about the cause and release from stress and suffering. It's not a religion, it's not a philosophy. What the Buddha taught was basically, for lack of a better term, it was a psychology of ending suffering. That's it. He didn't talk about where the universe came from. He didn't talk about where about gods or anything like that. There's none of that in the Buddha's core teaching, the Dhamma. So, but his insights into our stress, our frustration, our dissatisfaction in life were profound. In the second noble truth, the first noble truth being that in life there is old age, sickness, death, not getting what we want. This stuff happens. If you try to relate to old age, sickness, death, frustration, disappointment, not getting what we want, like there's something going wrong, then we're going to cause more suffering for ourselves, because there's no way we can live a life without these discomforts. So the way we react, if we react to these inevitabilities like they're universal, we save ourselves a lot of unnecessary suffering. But the second noble truth is that the bulk of our stress, disappointment, frustration is avoidable, because we react to the inevitable discomforts in life with what's known as tanha, which is basically grasping, craving, trying to find the conditions that will make all these inevitable discomforts we face. We're trying to attain something that will make those things go away. We're trying to do the impossible. Just think of all the times people greet their first gray hairs with shock and horror. Missing the subway, or getting on the subway, and it being in New York, being hot and crowded and no seats and humanity pressed up against us, can seem like a special affront to us, but that is the universal of the New York City subway system. There's no thing we're doing wrong, no state that we need to attain to make that discomfort go away. It's inevitable. In life, we will experience rejection. We will experience people saying what we don't want them to say. In the Buddha's teachings, he basically laid it out in a teaching called the Paticca-samuppada, which means the chain of suffering. Lots of people have different trends. Some people call it the codependent arising. But basically, the core that in this complex teaching is that we make contact with experiences in the world, and then feelings arise. Vedana. I don't like what's going on. I just missed my train. Somebody said something I don't like. I stayed home and there's nothing good on TV. Nobody's calling me. I feel lonely. So we have experience, feelings arise, and this is inevitable. There's nothing we can do about it. In this part of the chain, it's immediate and it's inevitable. You can't have, you can't get rid of feelings. We'd like to, but feelings you can't get rid of. They are inevitable. This part of the chain, the Buddha said, is can't really be broken. But the next part of the chain can be broken. This is where the chain, we have the feelings of disappointment. Oh, my friend didn't call. Oh, I just had an argument with my girlfriend, boyfriend, friend. Oh, my roommate left a towel on the floor. Oh, I just saw a cockroach. Oh, whatever. So these are the feeling of, ugh, or ah, arises, and then that's it. The Buddha said there's dukkha vedana, sukha vedana, good and bad, and then there's I don't care vedana, which neither sukha nor dukkha vedana. But that's basically it, and this is borne out by neuroscience. There's the body basically, our gut feelings say either yay or nay. That's it. They vote yes, no, or they abstain. So there's nothing we can do. The feelings arise, yay, nay, abstain, and then we try to do something that will make these yays or nays, these tensions in the body, this feeling of, ugh, we want to make them go away if they're uncomfortable. We want to make our loneliness go away. We want to make our frustration go away. We want to make the feelings go away. So we try to get something. You need Tide, detergent, that will make your clothes clean. Therefore, you will never experience disappointment again, because everybody will want to kiss you if your breath tastes good and if your hair is long and clean and there's no dandruff and if your armpits don't smell and if you have a substantial 401k, everything will be okay. You will never need to suffer again. So the world and the mind turns all these feelings, we are transformed into not things that we would like. They're things suddenly that we need to survive. We'll never be happy unless we get this thing. We'll never be happy unless we get that girlfriend or boyfriend. We'll never be happy unless we get that job. We'll never be happy unless we can quit this job. We'll never be happy unless... Because the whole movement of tanha is this feeling that somehow we'll never ever have to experience discomforting feelings again if we can just get these, we can get rid of that person, that roommate, or get this job, or this relationship, or this car, or this whatever, if I could just become someone different even. So what it does is it systematically diminishes who we are right now and what's going on in our present right now. The whole movement of tanha is basically right now, right here, I don't have the stuff that it takes to be truly happy. I need something or someone, or I need to be somewhere else. I need to be on a beach in Costa Rica. That's the problem. I need to have a perfect relationship. Then I would never, ever feel alone. I need to have the perfect library in my house. Therefore, I never would feel bored. But of course, these feelings don't ever go away. They're internal. There's nothing external that can make internal feelings go away. Even the very, very rich have frustrations and fears. Even Madonna. Madonna has her fears. See, if I said Sergey Brin of Google, I mean, nobody would have laughed. It would be like, what the fuck is that? But Madonna is funny. I don't know why. I think she's funny. If she's less funny, you have to say she's funny. That's a cardinal thing you shouldn't do if you're, you know, tell people that it's funny. Well, I could never be a comedian. I'd just be saying, hey, that last bit, that was funny. And that wouldn't be good. Where the fuck am I? All right. And so this craving infects everything. It's in our schooling. You just need to get to this next grade. You need to acquire this diploma. You need to get this recommendation. You need to. It's in our status seeking with our friends. It's why we, you know, we're always trying to accumulate credentials and reputations, because we always are in the search for getting that stuff, that thing that will make it so that I'll never ever have to have uncomfortable feelings ever again. So and then we wind up with it even infects, overruns into spiritual teachings. I was looking at there are all these wonderful places that have meditation, yoga, and retreats and stuff like that. and other places. And so I was reading through some of the descriptions of these retreats. And don't think for a moment I'm making fun of them. Because I don't want to get in trouble, and every time I even make a joke about any other spiritual path, people get irritated. So this is not making fun of them, but I found in one, you will be given the divine secret shaman instructions over this special week in this special place to help you follow the divine serpent's path of transformative healing towards the shedding of skins. I have no idea what it means. It sounds good. But the idea, and I'm sure it works. Don't send me the emails. Don't send me the emails, please. I once made a joke about Scientology, and oh my God, did I get... Anyway, so this is great stuff. It really is. But you can see how it's being this idea that you have to go to a special place where you're given these hidden secret instructions. Means that right now you can't really be truly happy because you're not at that special place on that serpent's tail getting the secret stuff, the special sauce you need to get. So without it, you are you're fucked. So that's it. Should turn off the tape right now. Oh God. This idea that the present moment is just a stepping stone to some magical place in time in the future where we will have permission to maybe, if we're lucky, have all the right conditions to be met in that future place where we can then, on that magical yoga beach retreat with shamans, where we can truly find lasting happiness. We can't find it right, and I love yoga, I wasn't making fun of yoga, but we can find in the future real happiness, but now we don't have the permission. Now there's something wrong with me, I'm lacking. So what it's doing, what tana and craving does, is it gives us this implicit message we're sending to ourselves that right now isn't good enough. I'm separated temporally in time, spatially, and even myself, I am lacking. I don't have the secret tools, the special stuff I need to be truly happy. So this movement makes the present moment feel really, really small and really unimportant. right now, when we're walking around, when we're missing the subway, when we're on our way from work, when we're on our way to work, when we're in the shower, when we're waking up, when we're waiting for someone to call, when we're on hold on the phone, these moments have this message to us. We believe that these are just the filler in life, and that we can't be happy in them. That there's special moments that are not right now, and that's when I can be happy. So it's not surprising if you follow this, and here's where it gets a little bit, I think a little heady, which is that the Buddha said, because our craving is such a mechanism here, and because there's this feeling that the present is so unimportant due to craving, that consequently when we experience a release from craving, we stop feeling that the present moment is so unimportant. We actually, when we fall into our bodies, in our breaths, bring a compassionate awareness to ourselves, when we begin to release the stresses that we carry around, when we really honor what's going on right now, all these things that we're working towards in the future, these magic moments that we're trying to get to, that are down the road, they begin to fade away. The entire experience of this moment being just a stepping stone amongst many moments getting us to that wonderful place in the future begins to fall away. And if you've ever been on, say, a retreat where we can really, you know, detach from all of the triggers that grab us in, but it's, you don't have to be on a retreat, you could do it right here. If we really, really fall into a space and a place of inner comfort, the entire sense that there's this whole future that I've got to carry around with me and worry about begins to completely fall away. Because the present becomes big enough, large enough, all-encompassing enough for me to find my happiness right now. Right now, I have all the tools I'll ever need to find true happiness. I don't need to wait for the divine instructions. I don't need to wait for the secret. I'm not keeping, folks, anything from you. I'm not. I wish I could say, yeah, you know, give me the 1995 and, you know, I will give you in a nice box the secret ingredient that you need to put in your drinks to be happy. But no, we did it in the opening meditation. We do it when we practice mindful awareness of our feelings, sitting with them, honoring them by not trying to make them go away, listening to them, relaxing them, being present, noticing the moods, relaxing the mind state, opening it so that we're not in a tiny, cramped little mind, working with the thoughts, replacing the ones that are stressful with thoughts that bring lasting comfort, like gratitude, reflections on the times we've been virtuous. All these things happen right here, right now. They don't happen any other place, any other time. There's nothing we need to be working towards. There's nothing we need to get. There's no thing you need to get rid of. There's no being state you need to attain. So the Buddha then reaches this wonderful statement in the Udanas, his sort of the most heady of his teachings, where he says, nirvana is not moving forward, it's not moving backwards, it's not staying still, it's not here, it's not there, it's not anywhere in between. What is he saying? He's saying the present moment, when it's truly given our full attention, there's nowhere to go. Because we're totally, the mind is expanded, it's containing everything, there's no other place, no other time. There's nothing we want to go towards. We don't have to create or worry about any future, any past, because right now is getting our full attention. And when the mind doesn't pay attention to something, it doesn't exist for us. If I'm not worrying about the future, if I'm not worrying about what's going to happen to me 10 days from now or 20 days from now, if I'm truly right now for a moment, then there is no future. There is no past. That's why the Buddha said that nirvana is outside of space and time. Because the mind completely loses interest in all those things. It just wants to be fully present right here and right now. It's not a mystical teaching at all. It's simply an observation that when we're truly present in our experience, we don't have to carry around all those plans and worries and fears and narratives about what's it going to be like. I can really find everything I need right here and right now. That's what we're trying to do honor towards. That's what we're trying to develop. An outlook that's truly able to fall into the body, into the breath, into the feelings, into the moods, and just be with them. Just be with them. I should pay to have drunks like break up my moments, my miniature moments when I feel, ah, that was nice. The moment, the magic moment with the special sauce and all that is right here and right now. So, to conclude, some people say, well, suppose I want to work towards something. Suppose I have a goal or I have a dream. I have a desire to accomplish something. I want to write my novel. I want to get my degree. I want to do my art. And all that is fine, and it's wonderful. We can have goals and desires, but when we truly have a spiritual practice that allows us to develop peace and awareness, we don't suffer when those dreams and goals don't come true or don't arise as we want them to arise. Because we have with us already a practice that gives us calmness and peace and a sense of security and a sense of life being expansive. And furthermore, when we do have a goal, we can look right now and see, okay, today, right here, right now, what can I do skillfully that will get me closer? We don't try to live in a fantasy of, oh, you know, it'd be so nice when I'm a famous artist and people love me. That fantasy doesn't get us any closer to creating art. In fact, it stands in the way. But if I say, oh, I would love to make art in my life, or I would love to write, or I would love to travel, whatever we want, we just say, okay, right now, right here, as I'm restoring my awareness, keeping the breath calm and keeping the body relaxed, is there anything that I can do towards that goal that's skillful? There's many things we can do while we are aware and mindful. I constantly work and practice while I'm working, keeping myself peaceful. And I don't stress about the things that I need to do. I just focus on right now, what is it I need to pay attention to? So this is mindfulness. This is the mindful life. You're invited to it. I thank you for listening. I hope you got something from tonight. And now it's your turn to ask or share anything that came to mind during the talk.